Certainly a blessed people. We have a fellow with a degree from Dallas Theological Seminary and Moody Bible Institute, two of the hallmark institutions for Christ in America, does our announcements for us. We are high class, I'll tell you, and the worship team that God has gathered for us, not just on Sunday mornings, but Sunday night, Wednesday night, they really show up. They give it their all. I'm so pleased. I often muse before the Lord, who are we? We're just a little country church, and you have blessed us with such talent. I'm so thankful for what God has poured out to us. This morning, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, very familiar passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. One of the themes that came out at my brother's funeral was that he really knew how to throw a meeting. A lot of his co-workers, the people who had worked for him through the years, came to the event and they told story after story about the meetings. Now, one of the things that people hate in general are meetings, but particularly sales meetings. My brother was a salesman and in charge of the sales force of the companies that he worked for. And they said that typically when you heard a sales meeting was coming up where they're going to talk about profits and loss and goals and those kinds of things, guys would make up excuses, ladies would make up excuses to be out of town for that particular event. But John knew how to throw a meeting, not just have a meeting. And he always had a theme to these meetings. It might be NASCAR, might be football. The guys could dress up, you know, to a favorite team or what have you. There were little contests, not big prizes, but little ones. And for John to talk personally to his employees was to talk business. He knew their wives. He knew their kids. He knew what was going on for each one of them. And under his leadership, company after company hit new record sales. I tell you all this because we're going to be talking about meetings today. And I want you to start thinking outside the box. If prayer has become boring, repetitive, dutiful, or uninspired to you, start thinking in terms of having a meeting with God to change the world. Lord, have you ever wished you could do something about everything that's going on? I often have said, I think what they could do is just dismiss Congress, all the Congress, the senators and the representatives. Just tell them, you go ahead, go home, and then find the local McDonald's where all the retired people from the community get together for breakfast, and just whatever issue it is, just give them a free breakfast. Wouldn't that be a lot cheaper than what we're paying now for all that representation? And they'd get it figured out. They'd do just fine. Well, you may not have a voice in our government, but you have a voice that counts before the throne of God. So maybe even think of it just differently than I'm going to pray today. Oh, I've got a meeting with God at such and such a time, and we're going to be discussing these matters that are at the fore for all of the world. Think of yourself as infusing people you love with strength, as attacking problems in this world with ferocity and courage. Put on the whole armor of God, then pray like a warrior. This time is going to change the world. Ephesians chapter 6, this is longer than I like to read to you because I know our minds wander, but we'll do our best with it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. How many know the devil is scheming right now? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Father, thank you for your scripture this morning. It strikes me, even as we read it, we live so far below that. You're saying, pray all kind of prayer, just pow, 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 pow. And we get dulled down to where we barely even acknowledge you during a day. It's not the way it should be, Lord. Help us to get dressed now in our armor, to get ready and go to war. Quit shrinking back when we hear the bad news of the world and start pressing in. Be part of the unit that breaks through to victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Hebrew word we translate intercession, paga, means to meet, to have a meeting. Now, every time you have a meeting, it has to have a purpose. If you've started going to meetings and they've lost any meaning to you, you quit going to those meetings. If they meet a need, well, then, okay, you'll spend some time, you'll get there, you'll go through the motions that are necessary because it's scratching an itch. It's getting something accomplished. But by and large, as human beings, we really don't appreciate meetings. And meetings always have to have a point. What if your child came home with a note from the teacher saying the teacher wanted to meet with you Tuesday night at 7 o'clock? So you clear your calendar, you get to the school, you go there for the meeting, and you find out what this meeting is about is the teacher sells Tupperware. How many would be pleased with that? You know, no. That's I am not here to get a fancy kind of toothpick because I came to a Tupperware party. I thought we were going to talk about my son or my daughter. That was important enough for me to come out and to have it. But you know, Tupperware, oh, be serious. Intercession creates a meeting. And we're not going to meet with God if it's not important to us. We're not going to meet with God if it doesn't seem to accomplish anything. But what if you met with God and the next day everything was different? Everything was changed. Boy, you couldn't wait to get back to prayer again. Our timetable and God's timetable are quite different. And God says, I want you to believe as though everything you ask for today will happen tomorrow. This stuff works. Not on your timetable. If we could pull back the curtain and you saw the spiritual warfare going on, man, would you pray. If you saw the workings that were necessary to break through and to change things that are wrong and make them right, boy, would you pray. Intercession creates a meeting. Intercessors meet with God, and we often even meet with the powers of darkness. And we begin to fight against their authority and their work. So prayer meetings are aptly named. They are indeed meetings. We're meeting with God. We're meeting with the enemy. And often these meetings with God are to effect another meeting, a reconciliation between God and somebody else. We meet with God asking, oh, God, please, I'm praying for so-and-so. Would you please? They need this. This is what I see, God. I don't know what's going on in their heart, but they need to be reconciled to God. God, I need you to get with this person. Dear Father, I come to you today asking you to meet with Tom. Tom may need salvation, direction, help, or healing. I'm asking you, God, get with him. Lord, be in his face. Get in his grill. Let him know that you're present in his life right now. Often I'll say, God rarely does what I ask him to do, but he always shows up in significant ways that I have to say, that's God. And I pray that for other people. I wish God would give to them what they're asking for, what they want, what they see they need. But often God sees a deeper need that needs ministered to. And so what will help along the way is one of those God nudges, just to let you know that he's there. I share a little tidbit from a friend of mine this week. He's going through a terrible trial right now. And he was thinking as he was going along about his grandmother used to bake bread. And he loved the aroma that would come in grandma's kitchen whenever he'd smell bread. And he just a dumb prayer. Lord, if I could smell some fresh baked bread today, that would remind me that you really are here with me in this valley. So he goes to an appointment, and the fellow he needs to see is tied up for a while. So he starts talking to the secretary. They start talking about bread. And the secretary says, I like to bake bread. He says, well, what kind do you bake? Well, I bake white bread, but I also bake some raisin bread. He said, raisin bread, that's the kind my grandma used to bake. She says, really? Wait here a minute. She leaves for a few moments and comes back with a loaf, fresh-baked, homemade raisin bread. And he says, what made you bring a loaf of raisin bread to work today? She says, I don't know. I just kind of felt like God was telling me somebody needed a loaf of bread today, and I think it's you. Isn't that wild? Now, his problems weren't all cleared up. It wasn't all bright and sunny. But God was letting him know, you're not alone in this journey, and you're going to be all right through all of the trial and the storm. And I'm sure if you would remember, you have had similar experiences. You say, wait, there's no way that could have happened on its own. Tom may need salvation, direction, help, or healing. I'm asking you, God, get with him. Now, here's the key to prayer. You have to believe that it works. You have to know going in. I'm playing with dynamite here. This stuff is powerful. I need to be careful. This stuff works. These meetings are powerful and effective. He told us very clear in Scripture, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It does a lot of stuff. It changes things. So understand that going into prayer, there's going to be a response from God. God responds every time you pray in Jesus' name. He spent a lot of time in Scripture telling us it works, telling us that this is powerful, giving us promises. Whatever you ask for in Jesus' name, I will give you. Whenever two of you agree on anything on earth, I will do it. He's given us a lot of promises. He is serious about his end of the deal. As we noted in past studies, he even collects our prayers in golden bowls around his throne. We pray and forget what we prayed. He's got it collected. That's how valuable our prayers are before. So where do you think all those other voices come from that tell you, it doesn't matter whether you pray or not. This isn't going to work. You know, it didn't work before, and so why don't you just stop? Go have some pizza instead. Well, that would be the enemy, wouldn't it? Trying to turn the lights down and trying to keep you away from the very throne of God. Whenever I meet with the board, we have an agenda that we work off of and an outline of things we hope to discuss. And I'll bet if you talk to the average board member about board meetings, the feeling would probably be, we don't get a whole lot done. You know, we have these meetings, and we don't get a whole lot done. But if we do it right, if all goes well, parking lots get paved. Roofs get re-roofed. Leaks are fixed. Workers are given equipment and supplies they need to do their job, do kingdom stuff. Missionaries are funded. Actually, you could connect the dots between having a board meeting and souls getting saved. If you didn't have the meetings and the things didn't get done, then there we would be. Those meetings, we enjoy being with each other and all of that, but beyond that, they're important. Good stuff gets taken care of because we had our meeting. We stuck to our agenda. When I meet with God, I usually have a few items on my list that I want to bring up. Hey, Lord, while we're here today, I'd like to, my latest ache and pain, maybe an upcoming vacation, a sick loved one, inspiration for a class or a sermon. But I always leave room for his agenda, plenty of room for God. And I often begin by asking, Lord, what do you want to talk about today? What do you want to accomplish in prayer? Here I am. I'm your vessel. Use me. just like he might use me to feed somebody who's hungry. Lord, use me in prayer. Where do you want me to aim the cannon today? What do you want to accomplish? I purposely ask his help when I begin to pray. And I'm often amused at where we end up. Going in, I had no idea I was going to pray for Iran or for a particular missionary I hadn't thought about in years. But God will bring them to mind. Word pictures, something that happened to me the day before, will suddenly be something I can use in prayer. Well, just like this happened with my granddaughter yesterday, Lord, I'm like my granddaughter coming to you and I'm asking you this. And it adds flavor, it gives purpose to my prayers. I've had pictures of picking grapes, smelling salts. I remember I went through a time for a while about launderer's soap. I was thinking about how dirty we are as a nation, how filthy the United States is, how dark we are. And I said, Lord, launderer's soap. It uses that term in Scripture, the launderer's soap, the stuff that really gets things clean. And I just started, and I couldn't quit saying, swish, swash, swish, swash. I just, Lord, get us in the washing machine, add the launderer's soap, and swish, swash, swish, swash. Get us clean, God. Keep working down layer after layer of dirt. Get down through the filth. Get down to the stains. Get down to the stuff we thought could never change. Lord, in you, you're powerful enough. Your blood was shed. It can remove all the swish, swash, swish, swash. And just kind of felt that action while I was praying, you know, doing the old, how many remember the old wringer washers? My mom used to have one of those and put, Lord, wring us out good. Get rid of all the dirt and the filth and bring us into your presence. But it gave a, I don't know if I should call it flavor because it's launderer soap, a new fragrance to my prayers that helped enliven me for a season in that direction. Occasionally, my meeting with God can turn into a confrontation with the other. It happened this morning as we were praying over in the prayer room before service, and we were praying for somebody's marriage, and somebody began to pray, and they came against the forces of darkness and the evil things that the enemy would be speaking into a person who was in rebellion, and you know, we bind those forces, we cast them out, we speak against them in Jesus' name. We begin by talking to God, and then the Lord may lead us in that direction while we are praying, and we sever those bonds that are holding them captive. So I can be praying for Tom to be reconciled to God, being delivered from whatever stronghold I know has been gripped in his heart. And I believe all things can change through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world keeps telling us, well, that's it. It's over. They are on the dark side. They're gone. But my Redeemer lives. He conquered the grave. There's nothing too difficult for my God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When we surrender to the Lord, we accept his ministry of reconciliation. That's what Jesus did. He reconciled us back to the Father. We were estranged. We were enemies of God. While I was his foe, he went far for me, the song says. That's true. He reconciled me to God the Father. I now have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Thank God for the ministry of reconciliation. But verse 18 goes on to say that he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I am a reconciler. I go reconcile other people to God, letting them know Christ has paid for your sins too. You can have peace with the Father. It is as though somebody came to my neighborhood and knocked on my door and said, oh, good, you're home. I just wanted you to know you are totally forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross by the Father. I don't have time today, but you go and let your neighbors know. Let them know this good news that I've shared with you. And then we have to weigh that. And we say to her, well, gee, I don't want them to think I'm some kind of nut. I'm just going to keep this to my, really? You're going to keep that kind of good? If California, they cut the power to large areas. And one lady said, we only escaped the flames because somebody looked up and they saw the brightness in the sky. And so we got out just in time. Their electricity was off. The cell phones were not working. All that had been cut off. Somebody looked up and told everybody else, there's a fire. How many would appreciate that neighbor? But the neighbor didn't say, oh, wow, I see smoke. I see flames. I'll just get my kids and we'll go. I don't want to bother the neighbors. I don't want them to think I'm some kind of nut. I don't want to think I see a fire everywhere I look, you know. No, they let the neighbors know. So you and I have been reconciled, and now we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, as though God were making his appeal through us, as though God was making his appeal through us. We are now in the reconciliation business. And the Lord is reconciling people back to himself through, that's your job. Well, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I don't know. Well, one of the things you need to do is reconcile other people. That's your job. Some people are evangelists. I think, everybody's job. There's a fire coming and we need to get out of here. We need to make things right with God. The Lord has paid for your sins and you can be completely forgiven. We proclaim the good news that all their sins can be forgiven, their records completely wiped clean. He's making his appeal. You become God's text message, his Instagram, his Twitter feed. So however you want to put it to this world. Paul said, you are God's epistle written and read among men. You are giving the message to everyone. We are the device God uses to reach the lost, reconciling them to himself. I would have chosen a better device myself, a more accurate one, a more faithful one, but we are what God has chosen, and he knows best. We are the ones to give the message to everybody else. Now, this reconciliation has spiritual and physical components, and I find that people tend to major in one or the other, the physical or the spiritual. Now, on the physical end, that would be everything I say to them. I might quote scripture. I might tell them, you know, you need to get your life right with God. I might be that little nagging voice every once in a while to remind them, you know, you need to be seeking the Lord. This is important stuff. That's physical. Or it might be something I do for them. I take them a loaf of raisin bread. I do something that demonstrates my love and God's love for them. So that's the physical end. I tell them what they need to hear. Their ears are hearing. Their eyes are seeing. They're experiencing. But then there's the spiritual end. And that's the intercession we do on their behalf in prayer. That's every bit as important. Which one's more important? Yeah, I can't have one without the other. How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless a preacher be sent? But if we're sent without power, if we're sent without authority, those words will just fall on deaf ears. It's the prayer, it's the spirit, it's the conviction that opens up the ears, that opens up the eyes so that they can see and hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you interceding, my friend? Now, I know these things tend to be seasonal, at least they are for me. I assume they might be for you. Every once in a while, we get reminded to pray for our loved ones that aren't in Christ. Lord, I haven't been faithful about that. I want to do that again, Lord. Remind me as I'm in prayer to pray for. And if you're like me, you'll find that there will be times you'll be praying and you pray for your loved ones and those that aren't in Christ. But it just seems like one comes to the fore and you just pray for them above all others in that prayer session. That ever happened to you? It just like, and it's almost like, and I've actually been in prayer meetings where I've even thought to myself, gee, we're praying for that guy for a long time. I don't know if he deserves all that prayer. You know, we ought to move on to,
There's like, I don't know, 6 billion unsaved people in the world, but he's had his 15 minutes. Now let's move on. But I recognize that's the Spirit moving in us, and it's doing a work in that person's life. And we need to give room to that. We need to give way to that. But Lord, if we keep praying for him, I'm never going to get to praying for my left knee. Forget your left knee. Pray for them, and God will take care of your left knee, you know, and your right big toe, and everything else going on in your life, you know. Get into the flow of what the Spirit would have you talk about on any occasion. Paga, meeting or intercession, is often used in Scripture to describe a battle, as when the Israelites met the Philistines in battle. That's a meeting, huh? They met in battle. Thus, you'd do well to put on the whole armor of God before you go to prayer. You want truth. You want righteousness. God, I don't want to come before you today in a dirty heart. Please forgive my sins. Make me right. Straighten out anything in me that is crooked, that would hinder my prayers. Was it Paul who warned us, or was it Peter that said, you better treat your wife right, or God's not even going to listen to your prayers. Lord, if there's some unrighteousness in me, I need the breastplate of righteousness before I go into battle. How would you like to show up on the battlefield? Oops, I forgot my breastplate. Where's my shield? Oy, excuse me, guys, I'll be back in a minute. I better get my stuff because I'm not ready to fight today. Put on the whole armor of God. And then go into intercession, because it often ends up being a battle, even in your own mind. Ever happen that you start to pray and there's a battle in your own mind even to pray? You remember everything else that's going on in your life and things you ought to be doing and stuff going on and you battle and you battle until you win that battle. Christ has already won the war. He's counting on us to do the work of reconciliation, setting captives free, and enforcing the peace he won on Calvary. He's already won the battle. We have to tell people. They have to know so that they can receive the reward on their own behalf. The enemy doesn't have the right to hold prisoners against their will, but boy, does he hold them. We've got a whole generation held captive to the darkness of the enemy. He has no right. Every high place must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. We need to do the work of reconciliation. As our text states, the old has gone, the new has come. There's a new sheriff in town, and you and I are his deputies. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We were at the park together. Josh was there with his kids, and I had Kayla and Chris's kids. And we were getting ready to go home, and my son handed the keys to Hudson. Hudson is 5 years old. He said, hey, buddy, would you like to drive home? And the look on his face was just classic, like, oh, I can't drive, Uncle Josh. Well, maybe you'd like to try. No, you have to drive. I can't drive. And then the Lord is saying, I'm giving you the keys. They go, I don't want that responsibility. Somebody else has a driver's license in the church. I don't yet. You do. He's given you the keys to the... Isn't there anything on earth that you would bind if you could? You say, you know what? That wouldn't happen anymore if I was in charge. Well, you kind of are. Start praying. Lord, we bind that in Jesus' name. Isn't there anything you'd like to see happen that hasn't happened yet? Here's the keys. Loose it in Jesus' name. There's a lot of stuff I thought I would never see that I'm starting to see, both good and bad. But if you'd have talked to me 3 years ago, I'd have been a little jaded on this whole fight against abortion issue. I always voted pro-life, and I never saw anybody I voted for do anything about the cause. It just seemed like they had no backbone. There wasn't anything going on. I thought, you know what, you tell me you're pro-life, but you know, is that just to get my vote? When am I going to see anybody do anything? Getting a little jaded. Now, this last year, we saw the state of Ohio, the state of Georgia, the state of Missouri. I don't know if there's any others in there. Pass the heartbeat bill. If there's a heartbeat, you can't abort that child. And that's like it's 6 weeks or something like that. I mean, states. And I heard the testimony of one of the ladies that was a legislator in Ohio, what it took to pass that bill. It was excruciating. Yes, there are people who will fight for life, will lay their political life down in order to see the cause overturned. They are working tirelessly, feverishly to get these things done. We were praying. We weren't seeing any results. And so, is this even working or not? And all of a sudden, God lights up the sky and states are changing. You know, there's a bill now before Pennsylvania, the heartbeat bill. Our governor said that he will not sign it if it comes to it. He's against it. But keep praying. Harrisburg, just this past year, people, for years, they showed up on abortion day at Planned Parenthood in Harrisburg. This year, it's shut down. It is no more. They're meeting at York now, and they're praying. And some of those people spent decades, week after week, showing up and praying. And finally, the walls came tumbling down. And there is no more abortion clinic there in Harrisburg. No more Planned Parenthood. Prayer works. God has given you the keys. But if you get discouraged easily, you're not for this army. You're not in this fight. If you give up quickly, well, you're going to turn tail and run at the first resurgence of the enemy. But if you're in the Lord's army, if you got the armor on, the story is told in the Old Testament of a couple of different soldiers who just decided they weren't going to run. The whole rest of the army ran, and they took their stand in the middle of a lentils field or cornfield or whatever it was. And they beat the one fellow, it says, his sword froze, his hands froze to the sword. He cut down so many enemies, he couldn't get the sword out of his hand. After he was done, they had to kind of pry his hand open until, but he just decided, I'm not going to run. The enemy might kill me, but I'm not running. Oh, my heart, do we need some prayer warriors like that today? Though none go with me, still I will stand. I sometimes get prayer partners in at our prayer time. They get discouraged that there's not many of us. Sometimes I'm the only one. And sometimes I'm not here. Sometimes somebody else is here, but I'm not trying to. I'm never discouraged when I'm here for prayer. One is enough because God is on our side. Keep the flame going. We need somebody else who's going to, we need others, and I know we have them. Not everybody who prays shows up here. But we need to have that spirit about it. This stuff works. This stuff is powerful. We're going to do the work. We're going to expect God to move. Maybe I won't see it all in my lifetime. That's all right. But my prayers, maybe a lot of other stuff I do doesn't count. Nobody else cares. But God cares when I pray. My prayer is that in another generation, should the Lord tarry, our grandkids will look at our season in America of abortions like we look back on slavery. I pray that they will say in their heart, how could we ever have okayed that? How were we ever that kind of people that by the thousands every day, people gave up their children? How could that ever have been us? I'm praying that more laws get overturned. I'm asking that hearts get pricked and minds renewed. I do pray that the laws change, but even if the laws don't change, I pray for each one who is tempted in that way. I pray, oh God, change that mother's heart. May she just see a picture of a baby or something and just have that little prick and no, I can't. No, no. Have some men stand up and say, darling, no. Somehow or other, we're going to take care of this child, but don't do that. Change hearts. I often pray, I don't need a law to change. We had prohibition for a while, and boy, that didn't turn out too well, did it? People roared for their booze, and the syndicate was raised up, and so on. So I pray that the bars close due to lack of interest. Go ahead, have your bar, make it legal. Oh, that nobody would care. Now, have my prayers been effective? I don't know. I see the grocery stores are getting filled up with the booze. Oh, about half the store is all booze. I can't. Have I stopped praying? No, no. We pray all the harder. Where sin abounds, grace there that much more abounds. God, give us grace. Give us a cleansing. I was praying in the prayer room today for a flood. It's raining good, so give us a flood, but not the kind of flood that leaves everything dirty when it's gone. We lived near a creek where I grew up, and after a flood came through the basement, we just had, you know, about a couple inches of mud. We had to shovel out and clean out the drains, and it was a mess, and I have to replace some paneling downstairs that got soaked. And always a mess when a flood came through. Your driveway was somewhere else and so on. No, not that kind of flood. It is dirty. I'm praying for a flood that comes through and leaves it clean and bright and beautiful. Is our God able? Am I just beating the air with my lips this morning? Or is this stuff true? Is our God able to wash us clean once again? Is there anything too difficult for God? We either ought to stop singing our songs or start believing them. We either ought to stop praying our prayers or start believing what we're saying. Remember, that's one of the keys. I need to believe that this stuff works, and it does. Hallelujah. I often pray, Lord, I know this is audacious what I'm going to ask you for today. I know this is ridiculous, but I also know what a great God I'm praying to. And you're the one that said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. You're the one that said, ask largely that your joy may be full. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask you today. I'm going to ask you today, Lord God, to take on this scourge of suicide that is in the land today. I'm going to ask you, God, to take those broken hearts and those broken lives and show up to them today and give them hope instead of fear. Lord, give them courage instead of cowardice. I'm going to ask you to save them, Lord God, rather than see them destroyed. Oh, God, I take this on today. I take that on today. Lord, I take on our seminaries today. They're filled with godless men and women teaching a bunch of hooey to people who otherwise would have faith. I pray in Jesus' name you would take them. Oh, Lord, I pray for our churches today. They have your name over the door, and they should not be teaching. They should not be preaching the rot that they're preaching today. I'm asking you, God, to show up in church today and overturn the place. My God can do anything. And we need to pray with that in mind. Oh, God, get them. Oh, God, get them. I know I ask audacious things of you today, God, but you're a great God. I have a good friend in the ministry, and he's always talking me back down to reality. I'm always telling him about revival and what God did, and he's always talking me back down to reality. Well, you know, this is going on. I don't think that, and we're past this point, and, you know, I think we need to think remnant now instead of this, that, and he's going on. And I listen to him. He's a very intelligent man. I appreciate what he has to say. But pardon me for not doubting. Excuse me for not giving up. I hear what you're saying. But I've also heard the word of God. I've seen what my God can do. And he is still able. And as long as there's breath in these lungs, I will pray with faith, believing that he will do the impossible on our behalf. If America is swallowed up in judgment because of her sin, I want the Lord to find me with my shoulder at the plow to the very last moment. I'll die fighting for the gospel. As I face the enemy, I do so robed in the righteousness of Christ, wielding his promises. I'm enforcing the victory already won by Jesus on the cross. Put on the whole armor of God and start praying great prayers. Would you stand with me this morning?